Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Nancy Solomon, sitting in for Brian. In the past month, we've seen news about immigration polarize the nation. Again. But now we're taking a look at something we all have in common, food. What if you could travel the world without leaving the U.S.? Renowned chef, author, and restaurant owner Marcus Samuelson answers this question on his new PBS show, No Passport Required, which looks at the food culture of immigrant communities across the United States. Chef Samuelson, who New Yorkers may know best for his Harlem restaurant Red Rooster, goes to Queens in one of the episodes for food from the Indo-Guyanese community. Hopefully he'll tell us where to go. Welcome back to WNYC, Chef Samuelson.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I mean, I had a blast traveling the country and eating some of the best food I've ever had, sometimes in restaurants and sometimes in people's homes. And just looking at these cities like Detroit, Chicago, New Orleans, Miami, and so on, but like also looking what the immigrant population of those cities has really done to contribute and add flavors and flair to the cities.
Well, if you ever have any job openings, take me with you.
Right, you would be. We would eat a lot and have a lot of fun. And I've learned that it's just as hard to manage a line cook as it is as a grandmother when you mess up her spring roll. So don't do that. Respect the grandmother's spring roll. That's the advice that I've heard on the road.
Oh, good advice. So yeah. Let's talk about. So first. You know, Americans are divided on immigration, to put it mildly. The Trump administration is in the midst of an immigration crackdown, and the president himself regularly rails against certain immigrants. Was this part of your motivation to do a show diving into these communities?
Well, I don't know if I understand all that. I assume unless you're Native American, we're all immigrants, right? That's just the definition of America. We are immigrants. It's a nation of immigrants. So I'm sure there will be some clarity on that. But, you know, I am an immigrant to this country, and I love America. And we obviously putting a human story into this versus numbers and all of this anger and false narrative that immigrants are not contributing, you know. Just imagine American food without immigrants. Imagine how New York City would eat without immigrants. So I think that food has never been better in America, and I think that immigrants is a huge part of that. It was inspirational to see these incredible families coming here, giving up everything they had at home to come to this country with very little means, but just their determination of starting something, be part of something. Immigrants contribute hugely to small businesses, entrepreneurship, and it's inspirational any way you want to look at it. It's like, hey, if they could do this, I can do it too. And it's just inspirational stories.
Now, you were born in Ethiopia. You grew up with adoptive parents in Sweden. You rose to be the executive chef at the celebrated New York restaurant Aquavit, which was Scandinavian food. And now here you're focusing, your restaurant Red Rooster is, you know, American food in Harlem. This is really quite a spectrum that you have been engaged with in terms of so many different kinds of foods and so many different kind of global experiences. How did that inform which communities then you sought out and picked for your new show?
Well, I think with having Eater and PBS as partners, they were, you know, amazing in finding incredible people, and we could tell a diverse tale, right? What we're trying to have in terms of conversation with immigrants is very, this is a very layered and not monolithic conversation. We're trying to have a fast, false narrative about immigrants. So for me, being Swedish and being Ethiopian gives me great windows into other cultures, but also living in Harlem and working in Harlem and being American, you know, gives you know, I always wanted to dream. My dream was always to come to America and work in America, and I've been able to do that. I want to work with food. It's something that I worked with all my life, and I think as a chef, you can evolve. And food has put me into so many different situations that I want to share. You know, when we hear what I hear about the Arab American, what's been told about the Arab American community, and when you go to something like Detroit and Dearborn, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, the Lebanese experience in Detroit, or the Syrian experience in Detroit, and the Iraqi food is delicious and beautiful. So when you hear that some of those people aren't welcome, nothing. Yeah, for me, it's just very confusing. So this is an opportunity to actually stop this nonsense and actually present something else. That here are these Americans. Yes, they come from a different part of the world, which we all did, by the way. And they love America and they love their old country, which obviously we can do as layered and evolved human beings. And then, you know, going to Chicago and talking about the Mexican American community. Well, they've been here for over 100 years, and adding to whether it's been aspect of blue collar and labor for over 100 years. So showing that immigrants contribute and they are Americans and they're entrepreneurs and they love their families and love this country, it's a conversation that we need to have, and we need to humanize it.
This is The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Nancy Solomon, New Jersey Public Radio Managing Editor, sitting in for Brian. And I'm speaking with the chef Marcus Samuelson about his new PBS show, No Passport Required. Listeners, give us a call. Chef Samuelson has been sharing culinary stories from his show. What would you like to hear about from him? What kind of food traditions from the old country do you think our story is worth telling? Or what questions do you have for the chef? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, or that's 212-433-9692. So, chef, you were just talking about Dearborn, Michigan, and its Arabic community. We have some tape from that first episode where you speak to sociologist Becca Karam, am I pronouncing her name correctly, who tells you this.
Southeastern Michigan is home to the largest concentration of Arabs outside the Middle East. And we see that immigration has picked up in more recent years due to the refugee crisis.
And you mentioned the, you know, what a great community it was and how sort of the, you know, living both as American and from their home country, how that comes gets expressed in their food. But tell us about some of the, you know, some of the mashups that you found. There was one, a Lebanese Snickers bar. Tell us about that.
Lena is an amazing pastry chef. She is, you know, her mom is Irish-American, her father is Lebanese-American, right? And that can only happen in America, right? And we should celebrate that. That's something incredible, you know? And Lena is an incredible pastry chef, and she does her version of a Snickers bar, of course, with a Lebanese twist. There's pistachios in there, and there's a little bit of rose water is in there. And that's my point. Like, through food, we can celebrate the uniqueness of America, that we are multicultural, inspired from the old country, wherever that might be, but we're not there. We're in America, so we'll always have a twist, and that makes it very unique. And this is something that is unique and beautiful about us, that we should celebrate our diversity. We're better for it in every art form, right? In every level of culture, we're more informed because of through our diversity, we evolve to things. So for all of a sudden say that we're not going to do this, it's just... you know, it's just it's not as inspirational to me as what it might and could be.
Often people talk about authenticity when they talk about food that comes from other cultures. And it comes up a few times in the show. We have a clip of a question, I think, that's posed by a Washington Post photojournalist, Salwan Georges, and he's talking to a baker in Dearborn.
You have a very important job because all the people that come in that are Iraqi, they probably think about the old country, the home country. So it's important he makes it very authentic, right?
He better.
What do you miss most about Baghdad? What do you miss the most?
Ashtaq al-kulshi.
مثلا
يعني كل شيء يعني
he said everything
everything yeah well that's very very beautiful already oh, and Iraq very beautiful.
So what do you take from this in terms of, you know, how important is it for communities, immigrant communities, to have the food from home?
Well, I think it's very central, you know, as a Swede and as an Ethiopian, you know, I miss both my matcha herring and my dorwat. And if I don't, if I go 3-4 weeks without it, I get grumpy and I miss the culture of that, so I can relate to it firsthand, right? But I do think that, you know, my journey coming here, I choose to come to America and coming from Sweden helped me a lot. But if you come as a refugee and if you have to leave everything behind, obviously the journey and the food represent all the struggle, everything you gave up, all the memories you gave up. And I think so when you eat something that's come from the, your home country, your old country, it is more delicious because of that, because it's the one thing that can connect you emotionally back to the place, whether it's for your family that you missed out. We need those emotional connections and culture, art, music, food, people can do that. And these are things that we know that just need to get highlighted. I mean, even in that clip, right, one of the amazing things what he says is, Baghdad is so beautiful. Well, for us that always see Baghdad in a place of conflict, we don't even know what Baghdad and beautiful looks like, right? But of course it's a beautiful city because it's an old city that's been there forever, right? So it helps us normalize communities that very rarely get on the news for anything else but just negative news.
Right. Yeah, I think about that all the time. Mm-hmm. Listeners, do you have questions for Chef Marcus Samuelson about his restaurants, his cooking, his new show on PBS, No Passport Required? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC or 212-433-9692. We do have a caller on the line, Poopaw from Paramus. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. I am an Iranian-American. I am so proud that you're doing this PBS show, Passports Not Required. I just wanted to mention that it would be great if you show some food from Iran and show that we Iranian are about food, drinking, getting together, having fun. We are not terrorists. We are at the situation.
No, absolutely.
We are under travel ban and everything. It's not about religion. It's about getting together. We are very hospitable people. And I know Anthony Bourdain, rest in peace, had a great show from Iran in his Parts Unknown.
We were actually discussing season 2 and the Persian community is something that we're definitely looking into, and we've been thinking about whether we should do it from maybe from Los Angeles or from the East Coast. We, you know, No Passport is obviously a portrait on immigrant culture but also of the cities or the borough that we go to. So what do you suggest, what community, what city would be the best way to enter the Persian and the Iranian community, do you think, through food?
Oh, so of course, Los Angeles is a very popular part because there are lots of Iranian settled there, and I know there is like a area that all the Iranian restaurants are.
In Beverly Hills you have that. And Westwood, you have that. That's absolutely correct. Westwood. What about on the East Coast? What would you suggest on the East Coast?
In East Coast, there are a few restaurants in New York, Manhattan. But I think the Los Angeles is more authentic.
Should we go in New York to have Persian food, do you think? What would you suggest? Give me one restaurant in New York.
There is Pars restaurant. There is another one is Paris Police. So there are a few of them. New Jersey, we have Paradise. We have Kebab on the Cliff. So
oh, nice.
Where's awesome. Paradise, if I might ask? Being the Jersey person here.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Where is that, Poopah?
In New Jersey, in Ridgewood, there is Kebab on the Cliff. There is Paradise. Kebab on the Cliff actually have a few locations in Rutherford, Cliffside Park.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your call. It raised a question for me as I was listening, Chef, how, you know, what you've come across in terms of the regional differences within a cuisine and anything interesting that might have come up about that. I was thinking as Poopah was talking with us about the fact that there's a Jewish Iranian community located all over the place, but specifically on Long Island. And I'm wondering, you know, how the food is different from one Persian community to another.
Yeah, I mean, as we, and this is exactly my whole point about how diverse an immigrant culture can be, right? You can be Arab, but not Muslim. You can be Christian. You can be Jewish. You can be part, I mean, even with my own family, we're Ethiopian, but my wife comes from a different tribe, so she eats completely different than my tribe, for example. So these are the deeper dives that we're able to do through the show. Here in New York, we're focusing on the Indo-Guyanese community, which, you know, have this dual migration, because spirituality and food-wise, they're very much connected to India, but obviously they're from Guyana, which is part of South America, but they speak English, and the culture is Caribbean, and they all posted up in Queens, right? So this is extremely complex and layered, but that's also what makes their food and their music and their culture so interesting. So the regionality of immigrant culture, you can obviously have, once you've sort of had first a broad stroke immigrant conversation around food and culture, and then you can do this deeper dive, and that's really what we're doing with No Passport Required. So Eater was super helpful in this and finding great talent, and PBS have been amazing in terms of all the research and all the know-how about culture in general. So I couldn't be happier to be able to travel around the country, eat some great food, and meet some fantastic people. And America's, I mean, the food scene, not just in restaurants, but I don't think it's ever been more delicious than now. And I think immigrant culture that's been layered on is one of the key reasons for this.
I think we probably have a lot of New Yorkers sitting on the edge of their seat waiting to hear the name of a restaurant where they could go try some of this Indo-Guyanese cuisine. Can you tell us?
Well, I mean, just jump on the A train and get off at one of the last stops. You can go to Sybil's Bakery for a quick doubles with or a quick oxtail. Sybil's Bakery is like the hub in the sort of Indo-Guyanese community, but many people, all Caribbeans, go there in Queens. Sunny's Roti Shop on Liberty Avenue. It's a great hub for just quick roti, curry chicken, a Trinidadian doubles even. There's so many great dishes. Pepper pot is obviously a Guyanese national dish. And you can also come to Harlem, you know, one of the chefs that is taking me through Queens. It's my friend Raymond and his wife Sky, and Raymond has a beautiful little seafood shack called Lola's Seafood Shack, where he cooks a lot of Caribbean food and especially Guyanese food. So, you know, what could be better than to see each other through food and culture? I just think it's a great way to learn about a different cuisine or culture that you may not have heard of before.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So let's try to squeeze in one more call. We have Tiffany in Ridgefield, Connecticut. Tiffany, you're on the air.
Hi there. Oh, it's so exciting to get to ask you this question in person. We are, our youngest daughter is adopted from Ethiopia. She's 12. And we cook Ethiopian food. I think my husband does a great job with it. But it's not like learning it from somebody who's cooked it most of their lives. So my question is, do you ever or would you ever consider opening up your incredible restaurant uptown there to cooking lessons specifically for these. There's a huge community of adopted Ethiopian kids in the New York area.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun idea. We do a lot of cooking classes at the restaurant, and yeah, maybe one of them we'll do with my wife comes in and we do some Ethiopian food. To cook Ethiopian food, I think it would be worthwhile maybe go online or you can need some key ingredients, and Washington D.C. is really the hub for that. So to get the right berbere, but injera bread you can make yourself, which is obviously the staple in Ethiopian cooking that you make with teff, and it's like almost like this sourdough pancake. But yeah, why not? Anytime I try to make Ethiopian food, I my wife always makes sure that she is the executive chef of that, or sometimes she's not even enough by herself, so her sister from Toronto flies in to make sure checks that it's done with the right authenticity. So if we do this class, I'll definitely have my auntie and my wife be the one leading this, because we can't embarrass the nation, and that's what they think when I cook Ethiopian food.
When I saw the name of your show, No Passport Required, I immediately flashed on the feeling that I get when I visit Flushing Chinatown in Queens. Mm-hmm. And I feel that I have stepped off the plane in China.
Yeah.
It is such, to me, I know that for some Americans it upsets them, but for me, there is nothing more delightful than not being able to speak English and get my, you know, to have to struggle with language and feel like I'm being immersed in somebody else's culture. And I love that you can do that by hopping on the number 7 train. So any other neighborhoods that maybe aren't as obvious? I think lots of people know about Flushing Chinatown, but other neighborhoods where you literally have that feeling of that you've entered into a different culture here and on our owned land?
Well, I think there, that idea I really love, and I think that's exactly a great way to look at, you know, really a love letter to your own city in many ways. But I think, yes, the language is still English in Queens with the Indo-Guyanese community, but I do feel like culturally when you walk around Liberty Avenue, you're somewhere else. You're completely transported, because the Indo-Guyanese has also, you know, with its religion and with its food, it's very different. I think that's a place for that, and maybe a good place to start, because you can still communicate through English, of course. But then also going up to the Heights, and, you know, seeing the great Dominican community that you have in Washington Heights, for example, would be another great example of being transported somewhere else through music, through food, through culture.
Okay, I'm going to have to check those out. Well, sadly, our stomachs are rumbling, but we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you, Marcus Samuelson, for being with us. And No Passport, No Passport Required debuts July 10th at 9 p.m. on PBS, and it'll air Tuesday nights